Theodore Roosevelt once said that the future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of their dreams. And folks, I believed in my dreams as a kid. And looky here. I'm hosting a podcast. Hey, welcome to another fantastic episode of Amelia's Weekly Fish Fry, brought to you by eejournal.com and hosted by me, Amelia Dalton. Now, what specific dreams are we talking about here? No, not the one where a whole herd of My Little Ponies is running free in the pasture, but I just can't get there in time. No, not that one. We're talking about my childhood dreams of an invisibility cloak and artificial intelligence ASICs. Okay, I don't know how you dreamed as a kid, but I was pretty geeky. All right, so we are starting things off this week with a little news you may have missed. Invisibility time. Now, when I was a kid, I played that what superhero power would you most like to have game, didn't you? And although my friends were all about flying like Superman or having a sweet set of bat supplies like Batman, I only wanted to be Invisible Woman. Who, if you didn't know already, was actually Sue Richards, and she received her powers after being exposed to a cosmic storm. Her primary power dealt with light waves, allowing her to render herself and others invisible. So this next story, to say the very least, is right up my alley. All right, the invisibility basics. Now, we all know that we only really see something when light bounces off that thing before it hits our eyes, right? And the colors of those things are really only presented that way because they reflect more light of that certain color. Well, the concepts behind making things invisible or cloaking basically disrupts that whole process in one way or another, and then builds that disruption into devices or even metamaterials in some cases. So, in the past couple of years, there have been several different cloaking mechanisms developed around the world. In 2015, the Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, or KIT, in Germany, used a cloaking technology that used bent light waves and was reportedly able to hide any object that could fit inside a 1-inch diameter cylinder. So, not really hiding big things, right? So, there is also a technique called temporal cloaking. Now, temporal cloaking was recently used at the Imperial College in London to create their space-time cloak, which used a class of artificial materials called metamaterials that were specifically engineered to have properties not found in nature. This space-time cloak, with the help from those metamaterials, were able to speed up the leading edge of the light waves while slowing down the trailing half. Changing the speed of light in this manner caused a corridor between the two halves, at which point that source could not be observed. But there is a problem with both of these current cloaking technologies. When you mess around with the travel of light waves, a shimmer-like effect is created. Think those Predator movies. Yeah. And that shimmer is always a sign that something is amiss, right? But some new research is looking to make that shimmer a thing of the past. Let me introduce you to the idea of the spectral cloak. Okay, so in this scenario, light is not redirected around the object, but is made to pass right through it instead. The device selectively shifts light from one part of the spectrum to another, before shifting it back to normal on the other side. Okay, so think of it like this. Say you're trying to cloak a green ball. This device actually shifts the green light to the blue part of the spectrum so it can pass through and then reverses that process. So, no green light to bounce off the green ball? No green ball. And one of the best parts of this whole thing? This device totally uses COTS products. Completely off the shelf. Okay, so this is how it works. We're going to need a pair of optical filters and a pair of temporal phase modulators. I know, totally have those around the house, right? Okay. So first, a dispersive optical filter forces different colors of light to travel at different speeds. Then that light changes frequency when it hits that temporal phase modulator, based on when it's passed through. That actually lets the light be manipulated to avoid reflecting the color of the object once the wave has passed through. The optical filter and modulator then work in reverse to restore the original state of the light. Now, in the beginning, this team used short laser pulses aimed at that optical filter, and using this device, they were able to conceal that optical filter without letting it absorb any light. So, steps needed to make Amelia's dreams of becoming Invisible Woman. Yeah. That third dimension needs to be worked on, and the team is well aware of this, apparently, and is, in quotes, working on it. Now, one of the first markets that this team is aiming at for their new spectral cloak technology is actually fiber optics communication systems. This technology could make them work more efficient and more secure. And then on to Amelia's invisibility cloak. Of course, right? If you want more information about this super cool new study, I've included a link below the player on this week's Fish Fryin' page called Full Field Broadband Invisibility Through Reversible Wave Frequency Spectrum Control. And you're welcome. Another dream I had as a kid, and I'm sure you did too, was to own my own personal robot. Mine was somewhere between number 5 from Short Circuit and Rosie from The Jetsons. Maybe I just didn't want to clean up my room. I don't know. But we haven't gotten there completely yet. But AI is making huge strides by the day, and my dreams may soon become a reality. But before we get into all of that, we need to talk about the building blocks of effective AI design. My guest today is Carlos Macian from eSilicon. And Carlos and I are talking about the intersection of AI and networking design, the role GPUs play in AI design, and a little bit about basketball. Of course. Yes. Let's go. Hi, Carlos. Thank you so much for joining me.
Hi, Amelia. Nice to meet you.
So give me a quick update on what eSilicon is up to these days.
Okay. So eSilicon, as you well know, is an ASIC company. So what we do for a living is design and build chips, and then we manage the manufacturing of them. Maybe a change that the company has undergone in the last few years is moving from serving maybe smaller fabless companies onto the tier one. And basically these days we serve only tier one companies, large OEMs and that kind of thing in the networking space as well as in the high performance computing and AI spaces.
Okay, so let's talk about that AI, which is a super hot topic these days. What are you guys doing specifically in artificial intelligence?
So, as you're saying, artificial intelligence is the buzzword of the day. So, however, beyond and besides the hype, it's also a very, very promising new domain, a new market niche, because of the amount of possibilities that it opens for a very wide range of applications. And I think that's the beauty of it. Why now? Why AI now? As you know, basically, the computational power that this kind of problem requires is extremely large. And up to now, it was simply not available in an economic way. So AI is a domain that requires vast amount of computing resources, a lot of parallelism, and it's also a power drain. So what we're doing specifically is looking at ways to provide the necessary energy efficiency to make these applications more attractive, as well as trying to bridge the gap that currently exists between the more general platforms that have been historically used to solve this kind of problem and moving into ASIC platforms or more application-specific solutions. So, you see, the problem that the AI community is facing these days is the fact that it's still an ancient domain, so it evolves, and it evolves quite quickly in terms of the algorithms and the solutions that are being used. So When something is evolving rapidly, you certainly need to be able to adapt the platform that those solutions run on continuously. The problem with that is that then you need to resort to highly programmable, general purpose platforms that tend to be less efficient. The inherent conflict is that these applications require a lot of computation power and a lot of power, period. So by using general purpose platforms, you're being inefficient in both sides. So the challenge here is how to provide the superior energy efficiency and the superior performance of ASIC for AI while being able to provide a resilient platform that will be able to cope with that evolution. And that's exactly the area that we are working on.
So it seems like I hear more about GPUs for AI lately and not necessarily ASICs. So Carlos, so why do you think that is?
Well, I think it's exactly the reason that I mentioned. GPUs are actually the second platform or the second generation of platforms being used to solve AI problems. At the very beginning, it was plain CPUs, the same that we use for everything else. But then people realized that while GPUs are not the ideal platform for AI or machine learning specifically, they are superior to CPUs, right? Because they have this parallel distributed architecture. So people embraced it, and the beauty of it is it's still sufficiently general purpose, although inefficient, for machine learning. So that's what made it, you know, the king of the hill. Now, what people are realizing today is, well, yes, that is beautiful and it gives us this programmability that we're after, but it's not efficient enough, it's not performant enough. And actually, if you look at the latest GPUs that are being brought onto the market by the market leaders, NVIDIA in particular, it is interesting to realize that they are including as part of their GPU architecture elements that are specific for machine learning, meaning they're moving away from the general purpose nature and really building an ASIC inside of their GPU. And that trend will continue. I mean, this is what Google has been doing already for a couple of years with their TPU generations 1, 2, and 3, which has kind of pioneered this field of building ASICs specifically for machine learning applications. And that is clearly the trend. Even the GPU makers are demonstrating by adding all of these specific structures in their architecture. So we believe this is the way forward. And we believe that what we're going to see from now onwards is not only ASICs for machine learning, but actually different ASICs for different application spaces. And if you look at the large amount of startups and companies that are developing hardware platforms, ASICs for machine learning, some of them very well known, very well funded, it's clearly the trend.
All right, Carlos, it's time for your off-the-cuff question. Now, I know you're quite passionate about basketball, just as I am, but you also coach basketball. So how did you get involved in the coaching side of things?
Oh, well, maybe because I wasn't good enough as a player. No, really. So above and beyond the love of the game, which is irrationally high in my case, the beauty of coaching is it reunites several things that I love. On the one hand, basketball to me is like a succession of 24-second chess games, right? So it's very stimulating, very exciting intellectually. But there is this other part of it, which is the dealing with a team, with a group of people, right, that are very different, have very different objectives, very different ideals, very different capabilities, and you need to help them act as one and you know, as we say in Spanish, row in the same direction, move the boat in the same direction, right? And when you unite both of them, it's a lot of fun.
I couldn't agree more. And I love that analogy about the chess game, Carlos. That is perfect. Well, I think that's all I have time for today. Thank you so much for joining me, Carlos.
That was entirely my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Speaking of ASICs, FPGAs, and the like, we all know that today's FPGA designs require industrial-strength functional verification. And those ad hoc methods that worked with older, smaller FPGAs just don't cut it anymore. In a recent episode of Chalk Talk entitled Debug and Verify FPGA Algorithms with MATLAB and Simulink, I sit down with Eric Segan of MathWorks, and we chat all about ASIC strength functional verification with model-based design. This is a good one. You'll want to check it out. And you can do that by clicking the link below the player on this week's Fish Frying page on eejournal.com by heading on over to the Chalk Talk section of EE Journal or check out YouTube, keyword EE Journal. Hey, have you checked out EE Journal on social media yet? Well, you should. You can find us at facebook.com/EEJournal. If you're into Twitter, you can monitor our tweets at EEJournalTFM. And if LinkedIn is more your thing, well, sure, you can follow us on LinkedIn as well. And we have that YouTube channel I mentioned earlier, keyword EE Journal. Folks, it is chock full of all kinds of techie videos, including our very popular Chalk Talk webcast series. And you can subscribe to our EE Journal YouTube channel as well. I'm just saying. Also, by clicking the links below the player on this week's Fish Frying page, you can check out the Fish Fry archive or subscribe to Fish Fry via the iTunes Store. And remember, if you want any further information about the stories covered in today's show, just head on over to eejournal.com and look for this week's Fish Frying page. Thank you everyone for tuning in. If you know of any cool new technology, any fun EE conference coming up that I absolutely should attend, or even the best geeky hotspot in your city, shoot me a line at Amelia@eejournal.com or post a comment on our forums on EE Journal. For the week of July 6th, 2018, I'm Amelia Dalton, and you've been fried.